God, we know we do not deserve your love. Sometimes we ask ourselves, how is this possible that you could love me, a sinner? But that's why we love you. It's because you do. Even in the midst of our sinfulness, that you loved us, that you made us and you're not willing to give up on us, that we are your children whether we deserve it or not, and you are our loving Father, that you never change. You are the same today, yesterday, and forever. And God, we are thankful for that. We are thankful for you and your great love. We know that we do not deserve it, and that is exactly why we love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Hey, this morning we are kicking off part two of a series called 126th and Broadway. When I say part two, this is not the second week, this is the first week, but this is the second year of 126th and Broadway, where we decided to take popular Broadway shows, some of which have been made into movies as well, and talk about where we find the gospel. But I do have some bad news. Since we decided to do this sermon series, we heard that Carmel decided to change the name of the street right out here. Just recently, they announced and they put up the signs that they are changing 126th Street between Keystone and Rangeline to City Center Drive East. Which is fine, okay, it's fine, but it really messes up our sermon series, okay? Because City Center Drive East and Broadway just does not have the same ring to it. So, for this year at least, we are going to stick with 126th and Broadway. We already made the graphic. I mean, you know, we're just going to go with it. So, from now on, for the rest of the series, we're going to pretend it's still called 126th Street. Cool? Cool. Okay. So, we are talking about how we here at Carmel can use the Broadway productions to talk about the Bible. And where do we find the gospel message within these shows? And so, for the next 4 weeks, that's what we'll do. We'll try to find whether it's a song or a theme or even a simple line from each one of these shows where we can find the gospel in each one. And so today's production is The Sound of Music. Sound of Music is a really cool show. If you've never seen it, totally encourage you to watch the Julia Andrews movie version of it. It's wonderful. And there's a ton in there that we could have talked about. I mean, just the fact alone that Nazis are bad, I think, would be a really good sermon. But we're not going to do that today, though Nazis are bad. Let's be clear. Okay, but now we're going to talk about something else entirely. We're going to talk about this idea that Maria, the main character, wrestles with, which is, what is our calling in life? And I think this is kind of a central question to who we are as followers of God. What was I made to do? What was I born for? What's the purpose of my life? And I think everybody wrestles with this. They start to wonder, what should I be when I grow up? And then when you're a grown-up, you think, did I make the right decision? We wrestle with this calling thing. Who are we? How are we uniquely wired? And how are we supposed to use that to serve God? What is our calling? Not just our occupation, but our calling in life. Now, I think there are times where we really wrestle with this, whether it's the high schooler who's trying to figure out where to go to college, or the college student that's trying to figure out what career to choose, or maybe the young adult that's trying to decide, should I marry this person? Should I date this person? There's all these times where we realize that we're in a major transition point. But other times, we kind of just go through life doing our thing, paying the bills, going to work, raising our kids, and we kind of forget to think about, who am I? What was I made for? What's the purpose of my life? But Maria, in the movie, is really wrestling with that question. That's where the movie starts. And then that's kind of where it ends, when she makes a decision of who she wants to be. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And I got to tell you, I've wrestled with this my entire life. Who am I? What's the point of my life? What am I supposed to do to serve the Lord? And it's a struggle, right, to figure that out. And so over the years, I've changed. Maybe you remember what you wanted to be when you were 5 years old. I remember. Actually, it changed a lot when I was five. Depending on the day, I wanted to be a race car driver, a superhero, or there was a brief moment where I wanted to be a chemist, okay? Now, this is funny because I do not like math or science, not my thing, but for about a week, I wanted to be a chemist. I wanted to make cool chemicals that did stuff. And so I remember one day in particular, I decided, because I noticed my mom out gardening a lot and pulling weeds, that I would help her by creating a weed killer, right? And that would be helpful to my mom. So one day when she was out pulling weeds, I went under the sink where I was not supposed to go, and I took all of her cleaning supplies and mixed them together in one bottle and then sprayed it on what I thought were weeds. Turned out it was flowers, and it worked. They all died. There were a couple problems with this plan. One, I got in trouble because I wasn't supposed to go under the sink. Two, I have no idea what I mixed together, so I never could have recreated it ever again. But I do have to tell you, it worked really well. So maybe I missed my calling. I don't know. I just know that over the years, as I've continued to wrestle with what am I supposed to be, it would have been nice along the way, and I think we would all agree, that we would like a sign from God, right? Just, God, tell me what to do. And of course, the most famous sign in the Bible is the burning bush, right? Moses is wandering in the desert, and he happens to see this bush that is on fire, and yet it's not burning up, which is cool, right? And so he goes over to the bush, and God speaks, and God tells him exactly what to do. And I think we all wish we had a burning bush. The bad news is, I've been looking. It hadn't happened yet. In fact, so far as I can tell, it only ever happened the one time. So maybe we need to look for a different kind of sign. Maybe a sign like this. Right? That's a sign. And God would tell us what to do on a billboard. That would be nice. Or this one guy, he decided that he saw a sign in a grilled cheese sandwich. See, he thought that that looked like Jesus burned into his grilled cheese sandwich. I'm going to call it Jesus. The problem is, I don't even know what to do with this. Like, if you saw this in your grilled cheese, does that mean you have to open a grilled cheese food truck? Like, I don't even really know, like, what God would want me to do if I saw this kind of a sign. What I would really like is just for God to call me. Just call me on the phone, tell me what to do, or actually sometimes I would prefer a text, right? Just text me with what you want me to do, and I will do it. I will answer that call. I will not send it to voicemail. I will do what you want me to do. But God, unfortunately, doesn't often give us that kind of sign. So in the movie The Sound of Music, we meet Maria. She's a young woman, and she's wrestling with her call. She doesn't really know what God wants of her. She doesn't really know what she wants to do with her life. And so she decides to enter into a program that the Catholic Church offers, and they still offer it today. None of us are Catholic, probably, but they still offer it, called postulancy. Postulancy is a period of discernment for people who are considering entering into ministry. So in the movie, Maria moves into the convent with the nuns. She wears the clothing of a nun, but she is not a nun. She is what they consider a candidate for ministry. And so she gets the opportunity to live there among them, to live out their schedule and their routine, and see if she wants to be a nun. And I actually think this is really cool. I kind of wish there was a program like that for Protestants where we could try things, you know, try to see if it's for us. But Maria gets this opportunity to be a postulant, to consider her call to ministry. And during that time, it doesn't go very well. Maria doesn't fit in quite well. And so at one point, Mother Superior, which is the head nun, calls Maria in to talk about her calling. Let's go ahead and watch.
And what is the most important lesson you have learned here, my child?
To find out what is the will of God and to do it wholeheartedly.
Maria? It seems to be the will of God that you leave us.
Leave?
Only for a while, Maria.
Oh, no, Mother, please don't do that. Don't send me away. This is where I belong. It's my home, my family. It's my life.
But are you truly ready for
it? Yes, I am.
Perhaps if you go out into the world for a time, knowing what we expect of you, you will have a chance to find out if you can expect it of yourself.
I know what you expect, Mother, and I can do it. I promise I can.
Maria.
Yes, Mother. If it is God's will.
There is a family near Salzburg that needs a governess until September.
Until September?
To take care of seven children.
Seven children?
Do you like children, Maria?
Oh, yes, but I'm seven.
I will tell Captain von Trapp to expect you tomorrow.
Captain?
A retired officer of the Imperial Navy, a fine man and a brave one. His wife died several years ago, leaving him alone with the children. I understand he's had a most difficult time managing to keep a governess there.
Why difficult, Reverend Mother?
The Lord will show you in his own good time.
So Maria doesn't know what the call of God is for her life, but luckily Mother Superior does. And so Mother Superior sends her on her way, sensing that that is God's call, or at the very least, that they need a governess. And so Maria gets the opportunity to go and do and see if that's God's call for her life. And later we'll look at another clip where we get to see how that works out. But right now I want to turn our attention to a story from the Bible where we meet a man named Abram. Now, Abram is an interesting character because we don't know much about him. We know he's a nomad. We know he lives in the land of Ur, that he's rather wealthy and established. He's older. He doesn't have any children. And he doesn't know God. In fact, no one in that region does. They worship other gods. And yet, for some reason, which is not identified, God talks to Abram and calls Abram and gives Abram an opportunity to do something amazing. And so the story we're about to read is one of my favorites in the Bible, where Abram responds to the call of God, again, not knowing God. It's not like you and I, who most of us were raised in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, we know a lot about God. Abram does not. He doesn't know this God at all. And yet he receives a call from God and has to choose whether or not he will be obedient. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." What's interesting about this scripture is God just jumps right in with the command, right? There's no introductory comments. There's no, like, let's get to know each other. It's just immediate go. Leave everything that you've ever known, the people that you know, the place that you know, and you're going to go somewhere that you have never been. And this is thousands of years ago. They didn't have maps or GPS. You couldn't Google someplace and look up pictures and reviews. Like, you just had to go, and you had to trust that God would take you there. He didn't even really know where he was going, and he didn't even know this God. And yet God says, go, leave everything behind, and go to this place, and I will show you where you are supposed to go. And then God says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. So all this is going really well for Abram, okay? God's going to bless him. It's going to be wonderful. But then he kind of changes directions and says, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So, Abraham went. Abram. Later they change his name. Sometimes I switch back and forth. I'm sorry. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. What's amazing to me about this scripture, and there's lots of things that are amazing, is that Abram was commanded to go and to be a blessing. We'll talk about that more later. But what's amazing is he did it. It reminds me in some ways of Jesus and his disciples, where Jesus says, come follow me, and they literally just drop their nets and then start following Jesus. Abraham, likewise, is told to go, and he just goes. He doesn't wait. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't make excuses, which actually Moses, we talked about the burning bush, Moses makes excuses, but Abram doesn't. He just goes to the land that God has called him to go, to the land of Canaan, so that he could be a blessing. Now, I did a little research. The trip that Abram is about to take is about 400 miles. There isn't really a direct route. He has to go up and around. 400 miles is equivalent to walking from here to Knoxville, Tennessee. That's quite a trip. I want you to imagine that God calls you to go 400 miles away to some place you have never been. You're going to walk to get there. You're going to take everything you own, and you're just going to go. Where are you going to go? You're not sure. What's it going to be like? You have no idea. You're just going to go, and you're just going to trust God that he will lead you to a good place. It takes a lot of faith. So I want to talk about this. I want to talk about Maria. I want to talk about Abram. I want to talk about Moses. We're going to talk about what it means to be called, because all of these people are being called, and being called by God is kind of hard to define. It's something that happens to a lot of us. We feel this call of the Lord to do something or to go somewhere or to be a part of something. But it's hard to define. And if people ask us, well, how did you know it? You kind of just say, I knew, I trusted, I believed. But I think there are some things that we can pin down when it comes to call that help us a little bit to understand what it means to be called and then to be obedient. So in my experience, and really that's what I'm basing a lot of this on, is my understanding of the gospel and then my experience, that a call has some things that it requires. First, you have to have faith. You have to trust God, because if you don't, then you won't follow the call. If you don't trust God, you won't do what he wants you to do, because you don't trust God. The only reason you would ever be obedient to the call is because you trust God. Some of us have a lot of trust. Some of us have a little trust. Jesus says all we need is a little in order to move mountains. We just have to have at least a little faith that God is good, that God loves us, that he will be faithful, that he is trustworthy. But you have to have faith. Otherwise, you will not do it. If an atheist was called by God to go, they would not go because they don't even believe in God. They would actually be really confused by that whole incident. But nonetheless, they don't have any faith. And so they would not go. And we see that with Jesus. Jesus tells some people to do things, and they don't always do what he says, which means that they didn't have faith, or at least not enough faith, in Jesus to be obedient. So you have to start with faith. The second thing you have to do is once you have faith in God, then you have to do what God tells you to do. You have to be obedient, right? The calling of God is always going to require action. What action? Yeah, it's kind of different for everybody. Some people have to go somewhere. Some people have to say something. Some people have to stop doing something. But it's going to require action on your part. The call of God always requires us to do something. And so we have to be obedient to that call. And then the last thing is, the call of God requires blessing. Now, often we are blessed, but I kind of think of it as a vessel. We are a vessel for God's blessing. In order for us to carry God's blessing to someone else, you have to be willing to receive it, just like a bowl of water. The bowl has to hold the water, but then it can use that water to bless others. And so we are a vessel of God's blessing. He will bless us in order to bless others, but you have to be willing to receive that blessing. The problem is when people try to keep that to themselves. They see themselves as a vessel, but not a vessel for God, just a vessel for blessing. And they're going to keep that blessing to themselves. And that was never what God intended, that we were supposed to be a blessing to others. That's the call of Abram, and it's still the call of us. In fact, we inherit his covenant or his promise from God that he will be blessed and we will be blessed in order to be a blessing to others. Like I talked about earlier, in Sierra Leone, Africa, we are going to be a blessing to that community. Probably none of you have ever been to Sierra Leone, and probably none of you will ever go, and probably none of you will ever meet someone from Sierra Leone. And yet, this church, through you, can be a blessing to those people. Why? Why do we care about their problems? Because we were commanded by God to be a blessing to all peoples on earth. And so through Abraham's promise, we continue to be a blessing to all people. Because of God's great love, because of the commandment that we have received, because of the compassion that the Holy Spirit has put inside of us, we become a blessing to all people, no matter where they are. And so this is the call of God. You have to have faith, you have to have obedience, and you have to be a blessing. Now, some people will ask me, how do I know if the call is really from God, or if it's some selfish desire of my own heart, or just indigestion from the Taco Bell I ate last night, right? Like, how do you know if it's really from God? And so I would instruct you that there are a few ways to know. First, your calling will always be consistent with Scripture. It will never contradict Scripture. So if you believe that you are called to rob banks, okay, that's not from God. Okay, it was very clear in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. God has not changed his mind on this subject. So if your call contradicts Scripture, then it's not really a call from God. Okay, so that one's pretty easy. But there are lots of good things that do not contradict God's commandments. And so that's when it gets tricky, is you're like, I have two good options. Which one do I choose? And that's where it gets hard. So I would encourage you first to look and talk to other people of faith who can help guide you. The Bible commands us over and over again to seek out wise counsel. And so when I've had big decisions in life, I go to people who I know love Jesus. They're committed followers of Christ. They know the scriptures well. They're people of prayer. And I go to them and I say, I need some help here. And so they pray for me and they offer advice to me. And as I do that with multiple people, if there's kind of a trend, if multiple strong followers of Christ are saying, you know what, Scott, I'm sensing that you need to do this, then I take that as really strong wisdom, that those people are helping to guide me into the best decision. And then the third thing is, and again, this is hard to define, there's going to be a nudge of the Holy Spirit, that God speaks, but he speaks usually quietly, right? The Bible talks about it as a still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. There's rarely a burning bush. There's rarely a Jesus. Most of the time, you just got to listen to the voice of God within you. You got to wait on the Holy Spirit. And it's hard, and it requires patience. And often, if you're really serious about wrestling with your call, it requires you to take some time, intentional time in prayer, potentially in fasting and reading the scriptures and listening to the voice of God within you. And I promise it's difficult, but I also promise it's worthwhile. And there will be, because the Holy Spirit is faithful to lead us, there will be a nudge of the Holy Spirit in the way that you should go. You just have to be willing to listen, but it's hard. And it was hard for Maria. Mother Superior sent her on this mission to take care of these 7 children. And while she was there, she also started to fall in love with Captain Von Trapp. And that, frankly, scared her. It scared her so much that she left abruptly and went back to the convent. So we're going to watch one more clip where Maria goes back to the convent and talks again to Mother Superior. Let's watch.
You've been unhappy. I'm sorry.
Reverend Mother.
Why did they send you back to us?
They didn't send me back, Mother. I left.
Sit down, Maria. Tell me what happened.
Well, I was frightened.
Frightened? Were they unkind to you?
Oh, no. No, I was confused. I felt... I've never felt that way before. I couldn't stay. I knew that here I'd be away from it. I'd be safe.
Maria, our abbey is not to be used as an escape.
So Maria had come back to the convent hoping to get away from the call of God, hoping to find a place where she could resist the leading of the Holy Spirit. She didn't know what it was that she was feeling, and so I understand she was confused, but she was also scared. And Mother Superior is wise enough to tell her, this is not a place to hide from your problems. This is not a place to hide from the will of God. We can't avoid the call of God. We have to seek it. And so Mother Superior encouraged her to follow that prompting, to even follow that prompting to do what she was called to do, which is to marry Captain Von Trapp and be the mother to these 7 children. And that's a wonderful calling. Each person's calling, if it's from God, is exactly what you should do. And luckily, Maria listens to Mother Superior, and the movie ends up very happily. I want to talk to you a little bit about my calling. And I want to talk to you about what's going on in my life currently, but before I do, I have to tell you another story, because these two kind of calling stories go together. So when I was in college, I knew I wanted to go into ministry, but I didn't really know what that meant. I'd been told by a lot of people that I had gifts of ministry, and I knew that I loved doing ministry, but I had done it in several contexts. I'd done mission trips, and I'd worked at summer camps, and I had done work in our local church as well, and so I was really wrestling with what was that going to look like in my life? How was I going to live out my calling? And one night, I decided to do what I should have done the whole time, which was to spend some time in prayer. And I knew that on my campus, because I went to a Christian college, there was a 24-hour prayer chapel. And I will admit that I was not a frequent visitor of this prayer chapel, but I knew it was open 24 hours, and it was near my dorm room, so I decided to go. It was probably around midnight when I went to the prayer chapel. And I decided I was going to spend several hours, so I even packed snacks because I was prepared for a long haul. And so I went to the prayer chapel that night, and I was all by myself. And I spent time in prayer, and I spent time reading scripture, and I spent time in song, just praising God. And after several hours, I just knew. I knew what to do. I can't say that I heard a voice, because I didn't. And there was no burning bush. I just knew what I was supposed to do. It was so clear to me that literally that same day I went out and started applying for jobs in churches doing youth ministry. I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. It was that moment, I refer to it as my 2x4 to the head moment. If you get hit in the head with a 2x4, you notice. And I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. God got my attention. This most recent call that is leading me to leave Carmel UMC after 13 years has not been like that. It's been slower, quieter, and more difficult to discern. It reminds me actually of if you've ever been to the ocean on a day when the current is strong, and you put your stuff down on the beach, and you go play in the waves. And after half an hour of jumping in the waves and laughing, you look back toward where your stuff was, and you realize that you are no longer by your stuff, that you have drifted so slowly that you didn't even notice it, but you've drifted away from your beach towel. And now your beach towel's 100 yards that way. And that's kind of what it's been like. That somehow, slowly, over the last few years, I've moved. I can't say when, and I can't say how. I just know that I'm not where I was. And I knew that I couldn't stay. And it wasn't because anyone did anything wrong. It wasn't because I don't love you guys. It was just, I knew I had to go. In some ways that I had already gone. And I was just kind of realizing it. And that's my call. And I am trying to be obedient. And it's been hard. And it's been scary. And it continues to be scary. And I have to ask myself every day, do I trust God? And every day I've said, yes, I do. I trust that God is good. I trust that God loves me. I trust that God has a plan for my life. And I trust that I can be obedient. And so I'm going to go. And it's scary. But I'm going to go. And I believe that God has a plan for each one of you. And here's what I can say about your call. First, I can say that your call is going to be different than my call. Because we are not the same. You are you and I am me. And God will call you to do what you can do for the kingdom. What you were made to do for the kingdom. So don't be a copycat, okay? Follow your call. And finding your call is the most important thing you will ever do. It's also hard. So you need to listen. And then when you listen and you hear, you need to be ready to be obedient, to do what God is calling you to do. And that is hard. Listening is hard and going is hard. But it's worth it. And so I encourage you to wait. Faithfully wait. Faithfully pray. Seek God's call for your life. And then go. Over this last really 6 months that when we announced that I was leaving, and I'm just living in this sense of I don't know what's next and I'm trusting God, there's one scripture that I kept coming back to. And so I want to share that with you now and hope that it will be beneficial to you. It's from Psalm 25. It says, guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. And there are times where I get scared. I get scared about money. I get scared about jobs. I get scared about life. I get scared, did I hear the right call? And I go back to this scripture and I just say, God, I trust you. I trust you all day. I trust you at night. I trust you in the morning. I trust you tomorrow. I trust you. I trust that you are good and that you love me. I trust that the God who led Abram and the God who led Moses will be the God that leads us. and he has not changed. He is strong, he is good, he is faithful. Would you pray with me? Father God, we do trust you, maybe half-heartedly, maybe timidly, but we trust you nonetheless. And like a child that trusts its parent, we just want to jump into your arms and know that you are faithful to catch us. You are good and you are strong. That you love us and that you have a plan for us. That we were made for a reason. That maybe we are in our own period of discernment like Maria, where we're wrestling with your call and trying to find out what it is that you want for us. But God, we pray you would speak. Speak loudly, speak quietly, but speak, Lord. And your servant, we will listen. And we will obey you. We will trust you more than we trust our fear. We will trust you more than we trust our comfort. We will trust you because we know that you are worthy of our trust, that you are a faithful God. So call us, God, and we will go. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.